Hipster Bricks by Denver Day. The cost of doing business. The price of egalitarianism in the 21st century. Or it takes money to make money. Number 55. For decades, I've always maintained a particular mindfulness regarding incarceration or incarcerated people in order to, or beings, in order to preserve or engender a certain higher order of peace of mind on a spiritual level. Which comes with knowing that no one could easily so easily take away such a personal serenity and free will by mere kidnapping, imprisonment, or other such similar encumbrance of the body. Sort of the same reason that people keep a valid passport but don't ever have any plans for travel and may never use it and haven't been anywhere anyway. But anyway, in taking this contemplative position in day-to-day life, there is a kind of common currency deployed, a type of shared burden among men and women who have such a practice. I'm not alone in it. That is to constantly remain mindful with respect to any and all people who are imprisoned, lost, enslaved, or otherwise bonded in separation from their home at heart in some way or another. You carry a little extra baggage with you at all times on behalf of strangers, typically. Philosophically speaking, such a practice is a win-win approach, I say, in the sense that either eventually every being becomes free throughout the cosmos, a situation that you arguably contributed to by your practice. Therefore, one who carries this particular practice becomes liberated with the last cop-out, if you might, or if not, then you also happen to become imprisoned or otherwise compromised in some related fashion, then the psychological groundwork is already in place for one to accomplish or suffer less relevant physical, material aspects of the ordeal that you end up having to face, if you get the business end of it. It may not be pretty, but in my mind, this is the only way to approach such a walk of life as that which we experience here in this fallen, odd, haunted robot graveyard of a realm, which is chock full of prisons and body thieves and bondsmen. Also, it's not secular thinking, but it is a maritime custom from time out of mind back, this whole thing, such a practice. And it was about to come in handy for me. Anyway, it seemed. I woke up in a hospital bed. Before I realized where I was, and before I began to recollect the events which must have led me to where I lay, I was not sure what to think or what was going on, and thought perhaps that I was waking up from some sort of hangover. Where was I? In light of that initial guesswork, it would appear that I could have been convinced that it was 20 years ago and I was coming to after an all-night kegger, but soon I recalled the job at the Boulder nightclub, and the sex with Red and Sam afterwards in my car, and then shooting the guy who abused and misappropriated the rule of law, an agent for the state, and his role as bondsman for Leviathan, in the form of that nightclub management. Here I was in the hospital of the beast, and I knew that I was going to spend some time in its belly presently. I also reckoned with the fact that I had been shot, and wondered how sincere my injuries were. All that I felt seemed superficial, but that didn't mean anything, necessarily, you know. A moment later, walked into the room a nurse who had a few grouchy answers. "Do you know why you're here?" he asked. "Yes, I've been shot. Is that correct?" I said. "That is correct. You were shot once in the back of your left hand and once in the upper left thigh, both with a 9mm round. You will make a full recovery physically," he said. "And you are in the custody of the Colorado State Police, and there will be an arraignment and a bond hearing docketed now that your surgery is over and you are conscious again." He did not elaborate, but instead changed the subject and asked if I was hungry, thirsty, or needed to use the restroom. "All three," I answered, and he nodded and walked back out the door. He returned with a pair of crutches and walked me to a restroom down the hall where I relieved myself. Then we returned to the bed, and he instructed that dinner would be on its way shortly. I did not ask him exactly where I was because of the security implications that would seem to have put upon the both of us in such a conversation, and for the same reason I did not query him regarding what crimes I was to be charged with. Anyway, I knew I probably wasn't far from my own condo, and I had a pretty decent idea of what crimes I would stand accused of, stemming from the events most recently. there was the tricky question of additional historical events, and there was also the concern regarding Red Chelsea and Sam Mary, who most certainly would be similarly accused, and who most undoubtedly would be exposed to the same criminal liability, which I found myself facing. I also bit my tongue regarding this latter issue, just as a general effort at not digging myself any deeper than I possibly already was. When the nurse returned with my food, he asked me if I wished to speak with the state police investigator that evening or wait until morning, based on how I felt medically, you know. I smiled at him for communicating with me so directly. "I'll wait," I said, and he nodded. I checked out my food and then explained to him that I am a vegan, and he returned with my tray to wherever he got it and arrived about 10 minutes later with a vegetarian option, for which I was relatively thankful. I wondered if the girls had been shot too. I doubted it, but I didn't know. There was, as far as I could tell, no reason for either of them to whip out weapons at the diner, especially in light of the fact that I had already did our duty through mine. So there would have been no reason for the arresting officers to shoot them or at them. I thought of my friends and slept in the hospital bed like a rock that night.